Today on Family Talk.
Stress is often associated with the responsibilities of a maturing adult when dealing with finances or career or family. However, many don't realize that our kids regularly deal with genuine anxiety and pressure as well. It is a sad reality that many children feel the weight of life pushing down on them. And research would tell you that stress has damaging effects on a developing child's mental, physical, and emotional health as well. As parents, we must preserve the well-being of our children and limit the amount of anxiousness in their homes. You are listening to Family Talk, the listener-supported radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today for what will prove to be a very meaningful broadcast. Today, we will address the subject of adolescence and stress, and you'll be hearing from a frequent guest on our program, Dr. Archibald Hart. Dr. Hart has discussed many issues with Dr. Dobson over their 40-plus years of work and friendship. And despite not being together for this broadcast, these two men are always united in spirit and service. Their profound wisdom and insight has been so helpful to many parents out there, including myself. I know when my kids were just entering high school, one of the first books I read on adolescence and stress was from Dr. Archibald Hart, and one of his interviews with Dr. Dobson really helped me understand why my kids were really a lot more stressed than I thought they were. In just a moment, we're going to revisit a classic conversation with Dr. Archibald Hart and Dr. Dobson, and Dr. Hart will unpack why kids are so stressed. He and Dr. Dobson will also explain how family life and peer pressure can wreak havoc on a child's world. Now, before we get started, let me refresh your memory a bit about Dr. Arch Hart. He's a best-selling author of over 30 books, a clinical psychologist, and a board-certified psychopharmacologist. Dr. Hart formerly worked at Fuller Theological Seminary as the dean for the School of Psychology. Before his retirement, he taught many classes at the seminary, including those in the Doctor of Ministry program. He and his wife Kathleen have 3 daughters and 7 grandchildren. Now, as I mentioned before, this is a meaningful program that I hope every parent will intently listen to. Here now, on this classic edition of Family Talk, is Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Arch Hart.
Well, let's talk about stress in your child. The notion of childhood as carefree and stress-free is really a popular myth today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a thing of the past. Yeah. There was a time when you could view childhood as a very special time of life, when you weren't bothered with the world, its cares, its troubles. But that's gone, and increasingly trauma, catastrophe, increasingly we're seeing life getting tough for kids.
It's getting tough for all of us.
The children are not escaping that toughness.
Yeah. And yet parents often don't recognize the signs of stress in their kids.
No. Part of the reason is because they look for stress in the wrong places, Jim. They're looking for stress in some of the more serious of life's traumas, when in fact the pace of life, the what we call the fast-track child, is perhaps the most stressed child of all. The pressure is on children to perform, to be something special, to be super people. And out of that context, I think most of the destructive stress we see is coming.
Now, let's explore that just a little further. Most parents think of a stressful situation for a child growing out of divorce, death of a parent, one of those extremely traumatic things that the child will remember forever. But there's just an awful lot of stress in the routine experiences of living.
In everyday living, in the many expectations we lay on our kids, on parents who expect children to perform superbly in the school setting, in parents who want to give their children the best they can, but then over-program their kids to such an extent that there's no time, there's no room in a child's life for recovery. And we are seeing increasingly the signs of serious stress disorder emerging in younger and younger children.
You know, one of the sources of that stress that I've observed more now than 20 years ago when I started writing was this get them started early and give them a head start on life mm-hmm. and really make something out of them. Philosophy,
yeah.
So that you try to get them reading by three, and you mm-hmm. try to get them into good music and literature, or some kind of athletic, something or other, and you're really driving those kids mm-hmm. towards some kind of goal. When in fact, childhood itself ought to meander a little bit.
There should be some lost moments, some bypath meadows in childhood. Now, I'm not saying that one should not hold out high expectations for one's children. I'm not saying that one should not give them the best exposure that you can, but it's got to be balanced. And I think that part of the problem is that we do not balance that pressure. We don't teach children how to relax. We only teach them how to work. When they are relaxing, when they're taking things a little easy, when they're just lying on a bed, listening to some music, we go at them and say, you know, get off the bed. There are things to be done. You shouldn't sit around. Life's passing you by.
Saturday morning, balance. The 13-year-old sleeps in. It's 10:30, and the parent is just gnawing her tongue
right,
over
right.
it. And yeah, that 13-year-old maybe ought to sleep till 10:30.
That may be what that child needs best to prevent the development of stress disease. Because the whole theme of the book, the whole theme of this program has to do with the fact that serious stress disease in later life has its origin in childhood.
Yeah.
Stress doesn't begin in your 20s or 30s or 40s. It begins in your 10s and maybe your teens.
It occurs to me, Arch, that our kids are a whole lot like us. You know, we live in a high-stress world where yeah. we can hardly breathe sometimes. The yeah. to-do list is so long.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of naive to think that our kids are immune to that and aren't caught up in it.
They're not going along for the ride. Of course they're going along with the ride. And there are many factors that create stressful environments for children. There's the child, him or herself. There is the environment. There is the family. And, you know, it's so wonderful to be talking about stress in the context of the family, because I think that that is the arena in which most stress occurs. And if the family unit is not a functioning, efficient, warm, loving, caring unit, I think that stress there is going to be more serious on that child than anywhere else.
Well, before we look at the specific sources of stress and how we might deal with them, let's go back to the point we were making earlier that many parents don't recognize that their kids uh-huh. are under stress. What are some of the signs of stress? Let's break them into two categories, physical signs and emotional signs, mm-hmm. because they're really emotional stress produces physical consequences. What are they?
Yeah, well, some of the physical consequences of stress in children, you see the disturbances of the stomach, the tummy ache, the children complaining all the time about, oh, my tummy hurts. And often we say to a child, you're imagining that, or just get off that kick, when in fact it could be a very, very important signal. In the area of sleep, for example, sleeplessness, children having difficulty going to bed. Physical symptoms would also include such things as headaches, frequent headaches beginning to come. So there are a number of these physical symptoms of stress that parents need to be attending to. I mean, fidgetiness, restlessness, as anxiety levels go up.
I've even read recently that elevated cholesterol levels in childhood
oh, yes.
and elevated blood pressure and
yes.
other symptoms that you think of as being related to adult experience
yes.
also relate to kids.
That's right. And the more serious of the physical consequences of stress is the emergence earlier in life now of heart disease through the blocking of the arteries.
Now,
autopsies of young children killed in car accidents and so on is showing increasingly high levels of fatty deposits in the arteries. Now, that should not be in young children. I mean, if the child's environment is what it should be, we shouldn't see the evidence of that severe stress reaction.
You know, I get angry when we talk like this because, and I've said this on the air before, but how lousy that we've allowed such an uncomfortable world to be developed mm-hmm. or to evolve here mm-hmm. for children.
Yeah.
I mean, it ought to be a safe place for kids of all things.
Be.
I mean, if we want to do that to ourselves as adults,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
one thing.
Yeah.
But kids just go through a really difficult time trying to grow up today.
Right. You know, I was reflecting at the time I was writing the book on my own childhood. You know, the worst violence I ever saw was another kid get a bloody nose from someone who gave him a punch, right?
Why'd you hit him?
Yeah. Why did I hit him? Yeah. But the average child today doesn't see bloody noses, sees murders, sees crime of the order of which I never would have dreamt of as a child. And that stuff has got to be carried home by that child and become a part of their fear system and their emotional makeup. Mm-hmm. And so we get these physical symptoms. Then there are the psychological symptoms, depression, marked increase in depression in children.
Yeah, let's stop with that one. How does a parent recognize depression in a child? Because he didn't often say, I'm depressed today.
No.
How does that look?
No. And the child doesn't go around crying or being sad as we would typically see it in the adult. But it shows up in children often with increased irritability. Suddenly their tolerance for frustration is down.
Volatile personality.
Explosive. Very low tolerance for any pressure. Blowing up a lot. You see it in marked drop in energy level. They lie around a lot. They're not sleeping, but they just don't do anything. And this profound fatigue. And that really is clinically for depression is one of the more important symptoms that
and sleep disturbance again.
And then we see the sleep disturbance. Then of course we get anxiety problems escalating with increased stress. Up goes the level of anxiety. On again, going back to the physical and manifestation of stress, with increased stress, the immune system becomes compromised. And so you get kids get sick more often. And your kid is always getting a cold, always getting the flu. And parents need to be alert to the fact that that could be a sign that the child is under too much stress.
Now, the nature of stress on children varies tremendously with their age. Preschoolers have a whole different world than the 13-year-old.
Yes.
Talk about stress through the years.
Yes. Starting perhaps before child goes to school, a lot of the stress there is associated with the comfort of the home, with things like separation anxiety. With more and more couples both having to work in order to survive economically, children have to be left in daycare centers, and the stress.
Do you see that as stressful?
Oh yes, I think that there is no doubt in my mind that a child who has to be in that foreign environment, often not treated as lovingly or carefully as it would at home.
You're touching a lot of people at this moment.
Well, I know, and they are their daycare centers and their daycare centers.
Yeah.
But no matter how good the daycare center, I think we just have to be honest.
Dr. Burton White of the Harvard Preschool Study said, it's not my job to either increase anxiety or decrease anxiety in parents. It's my job to tell the truth. And the truth is that whole daycare arrangement has many problems associated with it.
Yeah. I mean, the child is confused. There's always the separation problem. You know, how can we believe that that doesn't affect the child?
How about in the elementary years? What are the sources?
We move to
the
elementary as soon as you go to school. Now you have peer relationships. Now you have the school setting. Now you have teachers. Now you have a whole new set of demands and expectations coming upon you. And at this point, a lot of the gastric sort of problems, the tummy problems, will begin to emerge in the child at that stage. Has a lot to do with the outside world, interfacing with the outside world. It's like being let out of the cage now and beginning to explore the jungle around the nest.
Talk about the Super Bowl of all stress-inducing activities of adolescence, early adolescence especially.
Well, yes. Now you're back to yourself, you see. The pre-adolescence, it's the outside world. Adolescence, the stress is yourself. It sort of comes from within. How am I doing? What do people think of me? It's the whole issue of image formation and the coming to terms with who you are and the fact that you're not the perfect person you thought you were. A lot of disillusionment, a lot of disappointment. Failure at this point becomes more frequent. Yeah. You don't get the home run. You don't get the A grade. There's so much you can't achieve. And that all spells stress back to the child.
The two greatest sources of stress in childhood that I would see are the broad categories, at least. The first is conflict within the family, where a child is physically or sexually abused, or sibling rivalry, or, you know, one of those major problems within the family. The other, it comes for those youngsters who are specifically rejected and attacked by their peers. I don't know if there's any stress any greater than believing, fully believing, that everybody thinks you're a fool.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. And some of these kids, because of the way they look, they're scrawny, they didn't grow, they have acne all over the place, you know, teeth, funny teeth, whatever it is, every day of their life, when they present their body, their image to their peers, the information that comes back is that you are worthless, absolutely worthless. And what that does to a person's self-concept and to the level of stress is impossible to overcalculate.
And they are scars that many people will carry the rest of their lives. You know, I was just last week talking to a man in his early 30s who is in a deep, deep depression. And all he could talk about was the teenage years and severe acne and the effect that that had on his on his self-image. And now that he is perfectly normal, he can't shake that that image. And that attitude that he believes others have towards him. Then the teenage years, I think, begin to develop a whole new set of stressors. I mean, sex becomes an issue. The opposite sex becomes an issue. In the schooling situation, the temptations, the drug culture,
the alcohol,
all of that puts stress on a child. And the child is under stress if you say no, and is under stress if you give in to the peer pressure. And it's at that stage that I think the child needs a tremendous amount of understanding, and there's got to be someone in that child's life to provide an outlet for the confusion and the stress that child builds up.
Well, Arch, this is a topic that's going to take us 2 days to deal with, and we've talked about the problem to this point.
Yeah.
I know there are parents out there who are saying, I have suspected all along that my child was depressed or was going through stress. Now I'm convinced of it, and they're waiting for us to tell them, what now? What do I do now? That's really the theme of your book, isn't it? It's not just to say kids are under stress, but it's saying there are some ways that we can do better. In fact, your title here, the title before Stress in Your Child, says, the hidden reason why your child may be moody, resentful, or insecure, and then the subtitle is its causes, dangers, and prevention. You believe there's a lot parents can do to help prevent
this? Oh, there is. Yes, there is. And if parents don't do it, who is going to do it? And there is a lot we can do to train up our children so they go into adulthood without the stress proneness that we have. And there are important ways in which you can protect your child. There are ways in which you can develop an environment that can protect them, a way you can stress-proof your child, and a way that you can teach your child how to recover from stress.
First of all, how can you know when you need professional help?
Well, that depends on the severity of the symptoms. I mean, if you have a young child and cholesterol level is high, and I do advocate that parents have a cholesterol test early in the child's life. Certainly by the time a child goes to school, somewhere in there you should run a cholesterol test as to see whether or not there are some serious problems.
So you begin with a physical exam,
blood pressure, you know, make sure the child is physically all right. But it really depends on whether the symptoms are incapacitating. And a child who is not sleeping, a child who seems to be depressed, moody, morose, a child who's got a lot of anxiety, who suffers from a lot of tension, it may mean that you've got to get some professional help. But for the vast majority of parents, my guess is that it's something you can work on yourself.
You don't have to be a professional.
You don't have to be a professional.
All right, what do they do? I look at my child, I say, boy, I'm worried about him. I mean, he's not sleeping well. He's not eating right. He seems bottled up. He seems to be holding things inside. What do I do first?
I think the first thing to do is to do a survey. Begin to sit down with a sheet of paper. And there's a work page in the book to do this. But just sit down with a piece of paper and begin to identify the sources of stress. Develop a little analysis. write it down where you can see it. Write down all the pressures that are on the child. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe the school situation is bad. Maybe there's conflicts with peers. Maybe dad is not as loving or as kind, understanding as he should be. Maybe peers are, and just to make a list of all those many stressors that are aggravating the child. And then you can begin to get an idea of which you can work on, which can change. And there are some stressors you can't change much, but there are a whole bunch that you can make some changes.
You have a whole chapter in the book on discipline. Apparently, discipline and stress can be very much related.
If the wrong sort of discipline will escalate the stress level in a child. And it's important that parents know how to discipline appropriately. And if you are too slack, you're in trouble. And if you're too strict, you're in trouble.
That's a tough target, boy. It's in that middle ground.
There's a middle road you have to go.
In that chapter on discipline, in fact, you suggest three little sentences that may be helpful. We're almost out of time.
Right.
Why don't you
review
that real quick?
Well, the three little sentences, the first one is because I say so. You know, everyone else is doing it, Mom. You know, everyone else is going to this disco and so on. Why can't I go? What's the reason? Give me explanations. Because I say so. Another good discipline phrase is do it now. Procrastination, I think, drives the average parent up the wall. Mary comes downstairs and you ask, Mary, did you make your bed? No, Mom, I'm in a hurry. I'll do it later. And you know Mary isn't going to do it, you know. And
that do it really now.
Do
just,
it now.
Just do it.
And stop what you're doing. Put down everything else. Stand there and say, do it now.
Yeah.
Mary comes up and can do it now. And by giving it the attention, the immediacy of that attention, you can do a lot to increase. And the third sentence is, I say no. I say no. Mm. And so often, parents are afraid to say no. They're afraid that the child won't like them. And you just, I say no, period. Mm.
I've talked about in my own books the importance of setting up boundaries that are very clear. You just draw them in a way that the child knows exactly what it is you want. And it reduces stress for both of you if that's very clear and if you're willing to back them up.
Yes.
I find that true at business. One of my most important jobs here is to draw the territories, the responsibilities very clearly for these fast-moving, high-energy resources who work here. And in areas where I'm a little bit uncertain, you know, if I leave any confusion as to whose job it is to do something, there will be friction at that point.
That's right.
And stress for the people involved. Yeah. I don't know if that's clear,
but it
means a lot to me.
Right. Yeah. And you see, the key then, I think, to good discipline is mean what you say and say
what
you
mean. And back it up.
And then be consistent. Yeah. Be absolutely consistent.
That not only reduces stress for the child, but it does
your
a whole
own
lot for your own.
Way
down. Arch, we're really out of time now, but I want to talk more about the prevention factor in this issue of stress in childhood. The name of the book, appropriately enough, is Stress and Your Child, published by Word Publishers, written by Dr. Archibald D. Hart. Stress in Your Child, Its Causes, Dangers, and Prevention. I think this is a book that's going to be very, very helpful to parents, and I do recommend it.
This is Roger Marsh once again, and I pray that today's Family Talk broadcast has had a real impact on your life and your family. Stress is a real part of everyone's life, both young and old alike. And it's up to us as parents to comfort and help our kids process and overcome anxiety. I encourage you to get your hands on Dr. Arch Hart's book mentioned in the program. Again, it's titled Stress and Your Child. You'll find a link for that book, as well as Dr. Hart's ministry, on today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Again, just go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the broadcast page. In addition to listening to our program on the radio or on your phone, you can also use your Amazon Alexa. This hands-free device allows you to listen to Dr. Dobson anytime with a simple command. Once you enable the Family Talk skill, say, "Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk." It's that easy. Discover how to access our daily program on your device by going to drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. Are you desiring encouraging resources for you and your family? Then be sure to sign up for Dr. Dobson's valuable monthly newsletter. Every few weeks, Dr. Dobson takes time to write his personal thoughts on issues facing our Christian walk. It's an informative letter that we want you to have without any financial obligation. To get yours, simply call 877-732-6825, and a member of our team will be happy to mail you a copy of the latest edition of our newsletter. Again, call 877-732-6825. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as Dr. Dobson and Dr. Archibald Hart continue their discussion on addressing the topic of stress in our kids. You will not want to miss that informative broadcast coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is James Dobson again. As we close today's program, I just want to thank so many of you out there who make this broadcast possible with your contributions. And I want to tell you how much your generosity is appreciated.